First of all, is again, I'm just so grateful for Wes's willingness to serve as a shepherd here in our congregation. Us installing him today was pretty low key, and you know, and so forth, because we really like to have a celebration. So what we talked about, and I told the others that once all this virus stuff is finished and we're able to get everybody back together again, we're going to have a big party. Okay, we'll do that anyway, just because we want to be together. But we're going to welcome Wesley in that way. But I'm so grateful for Wesley's willingness to serve with us as a shepherd here, and I know that the congregation will be tremendously blessed by your service. He's done a fantastic job in serving as a deacon here for longer than I've been here, and we're really grateful to have him doing that. And also to have Beverly serving as a shepherd's wife now, and all that entails. And she doesn't, you know, I'm not sure she knows what all that entails yet, but she'll find out. But we are so grateful the Lord has blessed us with them. We are, as I mentioned as we began this morning, we're talking about encouraging others with the truth. And this goes along with the studies we've been doing really for the last year, focusing on helping people in our Jerusalem and in our Judea. For those who don't know what that means, as we've been talking to those who are with us online, the folks in our Jerusalem and our Judea goes back to Jesus telling the disciples in the book of Acts, chapter 1, that they would be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the very ends of the earth. And so we take that as looking at the people that are in our lives, the people that are our family members, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers. They are the people that make up our Jerusalem and our Judea. They're the people that we know, and they are the people that we need to be witnessing to about Jesus. And so we've been, again, for the last year and a half, I think, has been focusing on different ways and things that we can do to share God's message with those in our Jerusalem and in our Judea. And so this series of lessons, we're going to be focusing on how do we encourage people with the truth. Those in our Jerusalem and our Judea, they need to know the truth. They need to learn the importance of accepting the truth. Okay? So there's so much deception out there. We'll talk about that in just a moment. That we need to challenge people with accepting the truth. And that's what this whole focus is all about. This morning, we're going to be talking about what is the world's concept of truth? The world and truth. What is that really all about? And how does the world see truth? And what do we need to know about that so that we can kind of cut through and break through some of those lies and deceptions that Satan is telling people so we can share with them what the truth really is? Before we get into that, into the lesson itself, let me share a couple of things. These are some reminders to folks in light of the epidemic that we have, the pandemic of coronavirus that we're all dealing with, just some reminders of things that we're trying to do here. What our plans are here, we've adjusted a little bit with this, again, in keeping with the governor's order that he's given out, that all of our scheduled activities that we had on the calendar are all canceled until further notice of that. So that's our Bible classes and all other activities. Bible studies that we have. I'm still doing my Thursday morning Bible study that I have with some guys at one of the businesses in the area. There's only three of us, and we spread out around the room. So we're going to keep doing that as long as we can. But everything else, our ladies' days, our Sunday evening fellowships, all that we've had to cancel in that. So hopefully this will be over soon, and we'll all be able to get back together and resume all of these activities. I will be putting together some things, and I want to encourage people to use Right Now Media as much as you can. It's a great opportunity. I'm going to be putting some studies together on that so that you can actually go online and you have your account, go on to online to Right Now Media, and there's lots of Bible study material and everything on there. So go ahead and use that. That's why we have the account set up. And so that's a great opportunity, but I'm going to be putting together some specific studies on some things that all of us can be studying together with that. So be looking for that information. In the meantime, even though you know we're supposed to be social distancing and all those other kinds of things, we can still be making phone calls, we can still be sending notes, and we can certainly be praying for one another, keeping all of those activities. None of that's been canceled, okay? We ain't canceled any of that stuff, so keep that stuff up, make that be happening. And I want to remind you especially of a couple of our members who are especially vulnerable in this, with all of this, Miss Jean, and also Ray and Betty. So please continue to keep them in your prayers especially, and give them a call or give them a send them a note or whatever just of encouragement, because they are especially vulnerable in all of this, and so they're very limited in what they can do and where they can go. Miss Jean is she's just basically isolated in her house, and the only person that comes into her house is the one who helps take care of her every day. So please just keep those folks in prayer and know that they need some encouragement. So all those kind of things we want to continue, all right, throughout all this as long as it takes. Our worship service is being live streamed at our regular time. We'll continue doing that until, we'll continue doing that from now on. I mean, we've been doing it for several years now, but that's our primary way for folks to worship. So keep that in mind. With that, only those who needed to be here in terms of the helping out with the live streaming and so forth, that we're trying to keep within the governor's order in terms of folks and so forth. So we talked about a thing of maybe rotating people in. We talked about that this morning to families or whatever to rotate in, still keeping the number down, but allowing a few different folks just so we can keep the fellowship together and keep people. We don't want people just to be gone and out of touch for, the next however long this is going to be. So we're going to try to set up something along that line. And we're asking everyone else to worship with us from home during the live streaming part of this, okay? And again, we've got the individual communion packets, and we'll keep passing those out as we need those and using those. So that's basically what we are doing. As far as our contributions, as Wesley talked about, we mentioned this before, even though we're not meeting together as on a regular like we have been, where everybody's together and all, we still have to pay the bills. And most importantly, we're anticipating that there may be some of our members who will be out of work for extended period of time because of this virus and so forth. And so we're going to be needing to help out some folks in that regard. And so we want to ask you to please continue to make your contribution, and you can do that through PayPal. We have an account set up with that. If you have problems with doing it on that, just you can call me and I can give you directions. You can call Tom, you can call either one of us and we'll give you instructions on how to set that up and make that. If you have an account, even if you don't already have one, you can set one up. It's really easy. It doesn't cost anything to set it up. You can pay that way if you would like, or you can just do a snail mail and just mail your check to the church. Either one, we'll take it either way. But again, please keep that in mind, that the operations of the church are still ongoing through all of this, okay? All right, let's talk about the world and truth. I want to start off by focusing on Satan's disinformation campaign, okay? And that's really, if you think about it, what it is. And we have a lot of misinformation and disinformation that's going on in our world in a lot of ways, especially, and I hate to mention this, but especially in the world of politics, okay? There's information, there is misinformation, and then there is disinformation, all right? So misinformation is generally categorized as it can be information that is omitted or concealed without the intent to mislead. It's an attempt not to disclose information that may be used against the beholder. So misinformation is kind of more of that, I'm just not going to tell them this kind of a thing. Yeah, it's there, but I'll just kind of keep it to myself and won't say anything about it. Disinformation, okay, here's the definition that I ran across. False information deliberately and often covertly spread, as by planting rumors, in order to influence public opinion or obscure truth. That's disinformation. So there is a little bit of difference between misinformation and disinformation. All right? Disinformation can be cloaked in partial truths. All right, think about that. The purpose is to deceive you to the point that you question what reality is and to delay you from taking action. That's disinformation. Does any of that definition sound familiar to you? Okay. You know, we hear terms like fake news and alternative facts, people talking about different topics using those kind of terms where the information you have to kind of question. You know, you heard about politicians. How do you know whether a politician is lying or not? His lips are moving, right? You know, are they telling the truth or are they not telling the truth? We're always kind of wondering. Well, you know, we kind of, you know, people talk about the news itself and, you know, how much of the news that you hear and read about can you really believe? You know, because is it all truth or is it slanted one way or another and so forth? So there's a lot of that. And here's something else that I think a lot of people are involved in and some perhaps unaware of. Okay, the dangers of social media in terms of false information, misinformation, sometimes even disinformation, where somebody reads something on, you know, on Facebook or wherever, and they just assume it's true because why? It's on the internet. They wouldn't be able to put it on there if it weren't true, right? And so then they send it out to all of their friends. And how many times have things been sent out to everybody and only later to find out that it really isn't true? Okay, so here's a plug, and I don't do the social media stuff, by the way. I think most every of y'all know that. I don't do Facebook. I don't do Twitter. I don't do anything. And the reason for that is because you have to have friends in order to be on Facebook, and I don't have any friends. Okay, so it's easy for me not to do Facebook. But for those of you who do, check your facts before you repost those things, because you may be sending out some misinformation or disinformation. There's a lot of that going on in the world. Well, let's talk about all of this and how does it apply to the truth of the Bible and what we're supposed to be doing in sharing God's word with other people. Let's talk about Satan for a moment. If anybody had a disinformation campaign going, it's Satan. He is the father of lies, okay? The devil is, beyond any doubt whatsoever, a liar. Okay, and some people might, you know, we talk about people that are sometimes less than true. We'll call them, he's just a flat-out liar. You can't believe anything he says. That's Satan, okay? He deliberately, go back to the definition we talked about, disinformation. He deliberately spreads false information to obscure the truth. There's no accident on his part. There's no, he didn't really intend it. He intends it. Okay, disinformation to obscure the truth, and he does it covertly oftentimes. Remember that story back in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3? Did God really say, okay, he came to the woman as a serpent and spread some disinformation? It was partially true, right, but partially a lie. There's enough truth in it to get somebody to start doubting what they know to be the truth. And that's what he did with Eve. Okay? You will not surely die, the serpent said. Was that true? Partially. She wouldn't die physically, but spiritually she would die. So, see, there's, again, enough of the truth in there to convince someone, at least get them wondering and doubting what they really know to be true. And that's what Satan is doing all the time. He's doing that with you, he's doing it with me, and he's doing it with the people in our Jerusalem. Okay? And so we need to first be aware of that how he's operating. So when we're talking with folks in our Jerusalem and trying to show them and share with them God's word, to realize that Satan's already been there. He's already been sowing seeds of disinformation in their mind and in their heart. They got enough religious information, enough Bible truth, say, but they don't have the whole thing. So we need to be aware of that. The more we're aware of that, the more we know what we have to do to help them to have their eyes open to see the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Jesus himself described to the religious leaders that he was dealing with, the religious leaders of the Jews, telling them, and that's the you here in this text, John 8, verse 44, he's talking about them, the religious leaders of his day. You, he says, belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And that's the Satan that we are up against. As we try to share the truth with those in our Jerusalem and in our Judea, we're up against the father of lies. And we need to be aware of that. Okay? Because this is not an easy task. He's a liar and he is good at it. All right? So we need to be aware of that so that we know what we're fighting and we can then better prepare ourselves to help people to see through his lies so they can see the truth. We're talking about sharing the word of God in our Jerusalem with those who are in our Jerusalem and our Judea. Again, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, people that we know that are all around us. Here's a problem. And this is what we encounter so often. We sit down and we try to have a conversation with someone about the Bible or about church or about religion. People oftentimes have their own truths instead of God's truth. Okay? It's things like you hear them saying things like this. Well, I was raised to believe such and such. Okay? Or my pastor told me this, and so it must be true. Or how about, basically, they just want to take the easy and convenient way to deal with religion. That's what they've always done. That's what they've always felt good with. And so that's their truth. Whatever is easiest, whatever is most convenient for them. Okay? We've got to challenge people with God's truth. In other words, the idea here is to help people to look beyond their own truth and to realize that there is a true truth. Okay? There is God's truth. And if your truth doesn't align with God's truth, whose truth is messed up here? You see? We've got to challenge people with that kind of a concept, because what I find as I talk to people is that they're too comfortable with their own truth. You see? And so what I'm saying is we need to challenge people, right, to not be happy and satisfied with their truth, but to be looking for and striving for God's truth. All right, help them then to adjust their lives to God's truth. Because what's happening is too many people are adjusting God's truth to their lives. Okay? When we take God's truth and we adjust it to make it fit our lives and the way we want to live, that's not truth at all. See? And so we've got to try in challenging people to adjust the way they're living their life to what God's truth says and what it is all about. Okay? God's truth is not subject to man's opinion. Okay? It doesn't waver one way or another because somebody feels this way today or that way tomorrow, or because their preacher told them, because that's the way they've always been taught or always learned or whatever. God's truth is not subject to any of those things. God's truth is what it is. Okay? And that's the thing we've got to focus on. Here's the part that the world is really struggling with right now. There is absolutely no absolute truth. Okay? Now, just kind of let that statement sink in a little bit here, okay? And you begin to see the absurdity of it. There's a story of a college professor, and there's probably been more than one, but the story goes of a college professor who told his class that there is a very, very, you know, matter-of-factly, there is no such thing as absolute truth. And one of his students raised his hand and said, "Professor, are you sure about that?" And the professor said, "Absolutely." Okay? Well, you know, then you just contradicted your own statement. But that's the thinking that the world has, denying absolute truth. Truth is basically whatever somebody wants to make it. Okay? Pilate asked Jesus this vitally important question. When Jesus was there before him, and Jesus Pilate was questioning him about whether he was a king, and Jesus said, "Yes, I am a king." And he said, "For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth." At which Pilate said, ask this question, "What is truth?" And that's a question that a lot of people in the world are asking today. What is truth? And they will say that what's truth to one person is not necessarily truth to another person. Everybody has their own truth. And so we get into these kinds of things like your truth and my truth. The only true truths, this is basically kind of a worldly concept right now. The only true truths are claims that are divorced from any supernatural context and impose no moral obligations on human behavior. That's the worldly concept of truth. That it has nothing to do, doesn't come from God. There is no, you know, God truth and so forth. And when you want to start, you know, imposing certain things on the way people behave, no, there's no truth in any of that. Truth to the world is basically, again, whatever somebody decides is true. Okay? Roger Ailes, who's the president of Fox News Channel, said truth is whatever people will believe. So you tell them something, you know, we use this terminology a lot of times. You tell somebody something long enough, then they'll begin to believe it, whether it's true or not. You just keep repeating the same thing over and over again, eventually people will start believing it. And that's what happens a lot of times with our news media, okay? There is no such thing as an absolute truth. That is absolutely true. That's another popular concept and quote today. Absolute truth doesn't really exist. The founder of the Church of Scientology, Ron Hubbard, truth is what is true for you. So again, everybody gets to make up their own truths. There is no absolute truth. It's whatever's true for you is true for you. And that's different for everybody, because you get to decide for yourself what is true. Okay? So we have then what I refer to as the truth war. Okay, and that's what we are in the middle of. And that's what we are up against as we talk to people in our Jerusalem and our Judea. How many of you ever had a conversation with a family member about religion and you get that kind of response? Well, that's your truth. You say, I have my own truth. And that's really, I think, in large part where the war is. It's my truth versus your truth. And people kind of separating in that way, and that's how they feel, and kind of defend what they believe and what they want to do and the way they want to live and so forth. Well, that's my truth. You have your own truth. Basically then says, you have therefore no right to tell me what I can and can't do. All right? Someone says, I need to speak to my truth. And that's a big terminology today. This is my truth. Oprah Winfrey, a guru of religion, self-claiming guru of religion, giving all kinds of religious advice out there to people. Most of it wrong. Most of it very unbiblical. Okay? And I don't mind telling you that. She says, what I know for sure, okay? So this is a statement of, as far as she's concerned, this is true. What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is what? She says, the most powerful tool we have. So speaking your truth is the most powerful tool that we have. That's a complete denial, as far as I'm concerned, of God's truth and the scriptures, which is the most powerful tool we have in reality, is God's truth, not our own truth. Say, But we have folks like this who are out there influencing millions of people, literally, in a very bad way about what truth is and what it isn't. And to say that each of us, the most powerful tool we have is our own truth, denying the truth of God in His Word. That's the war that we are in. Tolerance, okay? We need to practice tolerance, we are told. Tolerance today means because my truth is my truth, then no one may ever question any behavior or belief that I hold. We need to be tolerant of everybody else, and especially when it comes to religion and faith and God. What you believe is what you believe. What I believe is what I believe. And nobody has a right to tell anybody else that they're right or wrong or anything else. So if you're going to follow that kind of reasoning, then let's just throw the Bible out of it. There's no need for it. You see? Everybody's just going to make up their own truth and believe whatever is true to them. Then basically religion becomes something that man has made up completely on his own. By the way, that's what a lot of people in the world believe. Okay? Totally and completely denying the truth that comes from God. Right? The standard for this kind of truth in this war of my truth versus your truth, the standard has become so ingrained that it's now impossible to rationally critique any belief or behavior without backlash or criticism. Oftentimes you try to tell somebody that what they believe is not according to what the Bible teaches, and that it's wrong, then there's all kinds of criticism, backlash you're going to face. We have folks that families no longer talk to family members because they've tried to share the truth with them, and they don't want to hear it. But we need to share it anyway. Okay, we need to share it anyway. My truth, that whole concept of my truth versus your truth and so forth, is protected by what I refer to as barriers to truth. What are some of those barriers? Well, again, I have always believed that. Okay, and that kind of goes along that line of, my great-grandparents, believe this, my parents believe this, and my whole family, that's what we've always believed and always practiced. So it must be true, okay? I was raised to believe this, okay? I've talked to people and studied the Bible with people, and then, they have said things like, if my parents taught me these things, and if I go against what my parents taught, then I'm saying that my parents were wrong. And they just don't want to do that. Okay? We need to challenge them, as I have with folks, and said, well, but if your parents were wrong, wouldn't you really want to know? And don't you think they would want you to know that? Okay? But that's a big barrier. When we're talking to folks in our Jerusalem and our Judea, that's how they've been raised and what they've always been taught to believe and so forth. This is another huge barrier. This is that my pastor told me this, and I believe it. My pastor wouldn't lie to me. Okay? And so what you're telling me goes against that, so what you're telling me is wrong because my pastor told me this. This is one of the biggest barriers that I run into with people. Okay? If you share them what the Bible really says about something, they say, well, that's just your interpretation. Okay? And so interpretation is that really huge barrier that blocks people from accepting the truth of God's Word. And again, the reason I'm pointing these things out is because we need to be aware of these barriers so that when we're talking with and we're sharing with people in our Jerusalem and Judea, we know that we can recognize the barriers that are there that these people are putting up so that then we can begin to start trying to knock those barriers down, okay? There are three truths. Ran across this and said, yeah, this is exactly right. There is my truth, there is your truth, and there is absolute truth. In other words, God's truth. There's the only three truths that really exist. And the only one that really matters of all three of those is what? Absolute truth, God's truth. Okay? The other two as far as I'm concerned, are totally irrelevant. All right? And so let's talk about the challenge. This is actually getting with people and talking with people about God's Word and sharing His Word with people as we try to dispel some of those truths. Okay? The reality is that most churches are not really challenging people with the truth today. They're telling people what they want to hear to make them feel secure and safe and all those kind of things, because a lot of them know that if they told the truth, a lot of their members would stop coming. You see? Because they don't want to hear the truth. They want somebody that's going to tell them things that they want to hear that makes them feel good. See? So they're not telling people the truth. They've made, and some of them have made up their own truths about what the Bible really says. Okay? Ran across this sign and they said, God said it, I interpret it, that doesn't exactly settle it. Okay? We need to understand that just because somebody interprets something doesn't mean that they've done it accurately in accordance with God's Word. All right? What it needs to be is one where we say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Because all we need is, what did God say? Okay? Church marketing is a big part of this problem that we're facing today in terms of sharing the truth of God's Word with people. Most churches are so occupied today with marketing themselves to prospective attendees that they wouldn't dream of risking their brand by speaking tough-as-nails truth. Again, because if they did that, then people wouldn't come there. So they're more focused on marketing their church than they are of telling the truth. Okay, they would get high marks in church marketing 101, but not when it comes to standing before God. Okay, challenging people to accept God's truth, absolute truth that God has given us in His Word. That's what we are tasked to do. And here's one of the things that I find myself a lot of times challenging people that I'm studying the Bible with, sharing God's Word with them. I tell them this: it is not about what I believe, and it's not about what you believe. It is about what God's Word says. And we need to be willing to challenge people with that. Okay? Because, again, that's one of those barriers people tend to put up there. This is my truth. This is what I believe, and this is what you believe. And I try to break that barrier down by this right here, by saying to them, look, what I believe is not what's important. And neither is what you believe. The only thing that really matters here is, what does God's Word say? That's what we've got to focus on. Okay? So let's forget about what you believe and what I believe, and let's just look at, what does God's Word say? What does it say here? Okay? And that helps them to break that particular barrier down. Okay? Again, Jesus in John chapter 18, talking to Pilate, says, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Which truth? Your truth? My truth? His truth. The only one that matters. Okay? So here's the idea of that. When we understand that text, the idea is to look at and see, what Jesus is saying is that He is the truth. He came to bring us the truth. And so if we're talking to someone who is a church person, someone who goes to church, believes in God, maybe they don't go that often, or whatever their situation is, the focus needs to be getting them to look at Jesus. Okay? And get away from what you've always believed, what your grandparents told you, what your pastor tells you, or any of those things. But let's just focus on Jesus. He's the one who says He came to the world to bring us truth. So let's listen to what He has to say. Let's just listen to Jesus. Stop listening to your pastor. Stop listening. Yeah, I'm saying that, okay? Stop. Don't just take my word for it. I've said this many times before. Don't take my word for anything I tell you. Go to the Bible and look at it and make sure that what you're hearing is the truth. Okay? Let's just listen to what Jesus has to say. So those barriers that we've talked about, they're hiding the truth from people, and we need to work at breaking down those barriers. That's what this is all about. You break down those barriers, then people are able to see past that barrier and into the truth of God's Word. We need to challenge them to simply look at what the Word really says. What does it say? Okay? Most of the time, the whole interpretation argument, which I said earlier, is probably one of the biggest arguments that people will use. And there's no interpretation needed. Just, what does it say? Quite simply, what does it say there? I know for myself, my personal story, you know, many of you know this, I was raised Catholic. I studied to be a priest. When I sat down with Brother Jack Meyer Jr. And studied the Bible with him, something I'd never done in my entire life, and he opened the Bible to me and he said, what does it say right there? Because I'm kind of arguing and stuck with what I'd always believed and what I'd always been told all my life. And he's saying, but what does it say right here? He said, it's in plain black and white. He didn't have a Bible that had Jesus' words in red. So I had to take his word that those were Jesus' words, right? Okay? But you understand my point. He said, it's right there in plain Bible. What does it say right there? Just read it. And that's what we need to do, is challenge people with, what does it say? Forget about what you've always been told. Forget about what so-and-so told you. What does it say? Listen to Jesus. Just listen to Jesus. Okay? Challenge those in your Jerusalem, in your Judea. That's what we're talking about here, okay? Do that with personal Bible studies. You can set those up with folks, get with them. Hey, let's study the Bible and focus on looking at what does it really say. Challenge them also with just personal conversations. That's a way to get things started. And I know that a lot of our members, we've talked about this in the past, that you know, they've got family members, they've got friends, and they get into conversations about church and about religion. It's personal conversations. So in other words, what I'm saying is, if setting up a personal Bible study with someone is kind of frightening to you or to them, then just have a conversation with them, okay? Don't make it an official Bible study. Just have a conversation with them. But help them to focus on what Jesus is saying, right? And then the most important thing, I think, in all of this is we got to show them that we really care, okay? Got to show them that we really care about them. That's all about relationships. And that's what we need to be strengthening and building more and more with those in our Jerusalem and in our Judea. It's about the relationship. We show people that we really care about them. And then they'll be more open to listening to what we have to say. All right? The truth about truth. Jesus said, again, to Pilate, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And then look at the last part of this statement. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And that's the challenge of the truth. You want to know the truth, you need to listen to Jesus and what he has to say. That's where you will find the truth. Right? So, the invitation is open to everyone. Again, the challenge is for us to share the truth with as many people as we can. And I know that in our audience that we have a lot of people that are out there, some who may be listening to us for the very first time online. You may have questions about the things that I've talked about this morning. You may have questions about your own faith, what have you. We want to be able to help you to find the truth. That's what this is really all about. There may be some things that are going on in your life that you need some help with. Maybe you need prayers. Maybe you need some guidance. We want to help with those things. And of course, there may be someone, I know that everybody here, those few of us that are gathered here today, I know are already Christians. But again, I know there are people out there who are listening to us and watching us online, some who are not Christians. And if you have a desire in your heart and you're ready to make a commitment to follow the Lord and give your life to Christ, then you can do that. And we will, again, in these times, normally you would be here in our auditorium, or you would just respond and come up, and we would baptize you right now into Christ. But we have to adjust a little bit. You can be baptized anytime. You don't have to wait for any specific time or anything else. All you got to do is call one of these two numbers or text one of these two numbers on there. And you can do that right now, by the way. Text either Dale or Wesley. Both of them are ready to receive your text for our invitation that we're doing right now. If you have a prayer request or need that we can help you with, you can text either one of them right now. Dale at 804-502-9808 and Wesley at 804-201-0023. You can text either one of them right now with your prayer request, and they will answer that. They will address your prayer request with that. If you desire to be baptized into Christ, to become a Christian, you can call either one of those numbers, or you can call the church, you can call me, and we will make that happen for you as soon as possible, if that is your desire and you're ready to make that commitment. The Lord's invitation is extended to everyone, and that is His truth, by the way. Tom has a song that he has chosen, and we're going to use as an invitation to give people time and opportunity if they want to text in a response, or anybody that is here that you have a prayer request that we can address. Issue that the opportunity is available. So let's stand together and sing. And those of you at home don't necessarily have to stand, but you can sing with us if you would like.